I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Zurich Classic. And joining me to break it all down, it is Greg Ducharme. Greg, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Rick. I know we're cutting into happy hour right now, so we'll try to get through this quickly. But hey, it's been a pretty cool tournament so far. What have you thought?
I enjoy this. I think it is, there's different dynamics. The fact that we get two rounds where these guys are going to go absolutely nuts and two rounds where, you know, even par is likely to be a good score. I think gives everybody a little bit of what they want. And I mean, let's just talk right about that here, Greg. Like the low round on Friday. So we are now in the alternate shot format was a 68 that was shot by Cameron Champ and Tony Finau. To put that into perspective, one day ago on Thursday, 61 of the 80 teams shot 68 or better. So it is like a completely different script when you get to alternate shot.
Yeah. And especially if you look at the bogeys and birdies and double bogeys, it's really quite interesting. So looking at round one, if you look at what kind of bogeys you got yesterday, you had for the whole day, 64 bogeys. You had one double bogey. Then if you go over to today's round, this highlights it perfectly. You had 247 bogeys and 38 double bogeys. And six others as well. So, I mean, it's a marketable difference in what happens in difficulty from one format to another. But Rick, I guess the question I'm left with after 2 days, if you're sitting there and you made the cut after 36 holes, or if you're handicapping the event, do you think this format lends to comebacks? Because you still have two, you got both formats again. So we have four ball tomorrow. We have foursomes on Sunday. Do you think that leads to comebacks or do you think that leads to it favors the leaders?
I think what we'll see is there will be a little bit of movement on Sunday, but I think that we're going to know the four or five teams that really have a chance of winning this on this time tomorrow. I think, you know, you go out, you shoot something 6, 7, 8 under par, that keeps you in it, especially if you are one of the top teams. And then there's only going to be a few that are really in contention on Sunday. And then those teams, I think anything can happen because if they're within 3 or 4 shots, you can easily get a 2-shot swing. You can easily make a double in alternate shot on Sunday. So I think we're going to have kind of a clear delineation on Saturday evening of the teams that are in this thing.
Right. Moving day. It's the perfect format for moving day. You'll have a very good idea. And another thing, if you're coming from, you make a great point with 2-shot swings and how easily they can happen. I think you'll have many opportunities for that, but it depends on how many people you have to jump. So after tonight, after tomorrow's round, I'll be looking at how many is it like T10. If you're in tied 10th and you got to make up 5 shots, that's going to be really, really hard. If you're in second and you got to make up 5 shots, that still has some life. So I think it'll have a lot to do with that as well because of the volatility. But at the same time, if you have a lot of people to jump, it's going to be hard to go out there and shoot much better than six. You're not going to see a 62 in alternate shot. I wouldn't. No. I mean, somebody may make me eat my words, but that would be for a team performance to go out there and shoot a number in the low 60s would be hard to imagine.
It would be like three shots better than anyone's ever shot in alternate shot in this format. Like, right. So yeah, I don't, if someone makes you eat your words on that one, I'd be really, really impressed. There are two teams that stand alone at the top of this leaderboard on Friday evening. We'll go through each of them. Let's start with Cameron Champ and Tony Finau, a 68 to go with their opening round, 63 to put them at 13 under. They did not make their first bogey of the event until the 12th hole on Friday. I got to admit it, Greg, I was not very thrilled about this team coming in. I think that they have plenty of flaws. Of course, they can get hot and make birdies, but the thing that has stood out to me is I've been really impressed with Cam Champ this week. He has played, from what I've seen, we don't have the strokes gained data by individuals, but I've seen a lot of their two rounds. Cam Champ has looked good, and that's really impressive. I think it's what's really boosting this team up to the top of the leaderboard.
So I think good Cam Champ is really fun to watch. He hits some really cool shots. The ball flight that he hits is, aside from how much power there is, it's just a really cool ball flight. So I love watching him play. And you're right, Rick, they're not making mistakes right now. So the ball is starting online for both of these guys. They're keeping it in play. The tee shot he hit on 18 today was so, I mean, it's so good. It's not easy to stand over that and take that line on and hit it over that much water.
Effortless, Greg. That he stepped up there. He said, I'm just going to bite off however much of this hole I want, and I'm just going to pipe one down. It was unbelievable.
You can tell these guys are kind of feeding off of one another. They're working really well together, and these two look like a really good team. And I get the sense watching them that they respect each other for that ability to hit. Because both of these guys, you could say effortless power with Finau's really short golf swing comparative to, you know, a Bryson. Most long hitters don't have swings that are as short as Tony Finau's. John Rahm would be the only other guy that comes to mind. So it's like, how can he generate that much speed with that short of a swing? And then Cam Champ is just so smooth in his transition and the fluidity of it. And the ball just comes off like, I mean, at 189, 190, like he rolled out of bed with that kind of ball speed.
That tee shot he hit on 18 was essentially a two shot penalty for Sam Burns, who had to watch that and then go next, and he plunked it directly in the water.
Do you think he was affected by that?
Yes. Yeah. The way the wind was coming, you kind of had to take on the right side if you wanted to find the short grass, and Sam Burns hits it a long way. He is great with his driver, and I think there's a part of him that stood up there and said, hey, he can do that. I can do that too. Let me show you. And then big whoops.
Yeah, it highlighted Cam Champ's drive even a little more.
Yeah.
Because you sometimes watching on TV, they hit that shot and they know they pick up the tee right away and they know where their landing area is. But you miss that just a little bit to the right. And all of a sudden the water comes into play so quickly. So while it lands in the middle of the fairway and it looks like there's plenty of room, there's a lot less than TV gives you credit for. So I agree with you, Rick. I think Champ's playing really, really well. And I think this format gives Tony Finau a little bit of the break he needs. I think the pressure that you're feeling as a 36 hole leader tonight in this format is less than an individual event. And I think there's always that kind of built-in excuse is probably unfair, but there's that extra layer to this.
We were chatting before we went hot about how on brand this would be for Tony Finau to have two wins on the PGA Tour, one being the Puerto Rico Open and the other being the team event, the Zurich Classic. We would still be like, oh, well, he hasn't won a real event yet. Yeah. It would be, right?
Hasn't won an individual event since. So I know you think that Hovland is some kind of sorcerer and just above the curse, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's also way more fun with watching Finau and still correlating it back to the curse of the Puerto Rico Open.
Yeah.
Would you count this as a curse lifted if Finau and Champ win this week?
No, He's got to do it by himself. Yeah. He has to.
The curse lives on.
The curse lives on. Speaking of that team, the Victor Hovland, Christopher Ventura team, they are the other team sitting at 13 under. They're two shots clear along with Champ and Finau of the Chase Pack. They played well, a 3 under 69 with a double on the card. They made double on 16. This to me, you know, you get a guy who is, you know, a top 15 player in the world paired with a guy who is, I don't know what his official world golf ranking for Venture is probably 300 and something. But the feels, the vibes, the good naturedness, the experience playing with one another, I mean, goes super far in this format.
It's something, this format to me highlights this aspect of professional golf, which I found to be really cool this week. These guys are really, really good. And if you went to their club and watched any player in this field, and watched them hit balls, you would think they're going to win this week, right? You would be really impressed, unless they were really struggling and adamant and showing it and giving you one-handed finishes and snap, which you don't see from tour players. So these guys are all really good and they're all really capable of winning. And so I want to tell this little story that I think kind of relates to when you see a guy like Ventura or Uline or, you know, some of these other guys that you didn't expect, you know, Pat Perez, some of these guys you may not have expected to be near the top of the leaderboard. Well, I remember when I was at Medalist and Tiger would show up. This was at a time when Tiger was battling injury. He was kind of back and forth and wasn't really playing very much and wasn't playing very well, but he was kind of making a comeback. And there was so much buzz around the club, and it was even getting into the media, people saying, oh, Tiger looks really good. And he does. I saw it with my own eyes. It's so impressive watching him hit it. And you always have this thought that when you're on the range, oh, he meant to do that. You know, it draws a little bit. Oh, and then he hits a fade the next. Oh, he's working it. He's really shaping the ball. But it's extremely impressive. And then he would go out and you know, miss a cut or something. And everybody said, oh, yeah, Tiger's going to win when he comes back. And so there's this. The point of that whole story is that every single player out here is really good, and they're all really capable of shooting good scores. And when you get some chemistry like Ventura and Hovland have, and you get a nice mixture in their games with a great ball striker and a great putter in Ventura, this is the kind of result you get. So it's been fun to watch.
I do that too on the range when I thin one and it doesn't get more than 10 feet off the ground. That was me trying to hit a stinger, you know.
Yeah, you club
it,
twirl that.
Low. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I meant club twirl, hands forward, walk after it.
Let's talk about a couple other teams here. And I'm going to scroll deep for this one. And I'm very near the bottom of the leaderboard. And I find Colin Morikawa and Matthew Wolf, who shot a 77 in alternate shot here on Friday. They weren't really all that great in best ball either. They were only 2 under on that side of the coin. And whether you have the stats or not, it looked a lot like Matthew Wolf just continued to struggle. It did not look like he was having much fun out there. This continues kind of a stretch of golf for him that is curious, to say the least. It is just, it's a pretty bad spot for Wolfie right now.
It's tough when your partner, if you're a Morikawa and your partner's really struggling, especially in this format. It's one thing you go out in the first round and shoot 70 and you're 2 under, but you feel like, you know, you're still in it, but you need a good round. And then you just don't have it. And that's frustrating. And it's hard to play. And it's even harder, obviously, an alternate shot. So I think that was a challenge for Morikawa and obviously for Wolf. And no, that's when pressure builds. Pressure in an event like this builds not when you're playing well, getting closer to the lead, at least for today. It builds when you're struggling, when things aren't going well and you feel like you're letting your partner down. And Matthew Wolf had to feel that way. I'm just letting Morikawa down. And it's hard. It makes it hard to perform because you want to have confidence when you're playing. You want to feel good about the shots that you've been hitting and you're going to hit. And you want to go into it with a really positive. And it's hard when it goes bad and you're letting somebody else down rather than yourself. It's a different talking to when it's, I'm doing this to him and I'm doing this for me. And then you only get half the reps. You only get half the chances to fix it. So it's a tough thing. It was a kind of a tough tournament. I mean, it's surprising. It was surprising to me.
Most of these guys institute a no apology rule. Like, we're not going to apologize to one another for shots that we hit.
Yeah, you have to, but it doesn't matter. You feel it anyway.
Right. You still know. I mean, just because I'm not saying it doesn't mean I don't feel sorry about it.
Right. I'm not allowed to say sorry, but I'm sorry. What could I mean? I'm trying my best. You know that, but this isn't what you signed up for, right? You signed up for the Matthew Wolf that's runner up in the US Open. Tied fourth at the PGA, right? Not this guy.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the odds for the weekend. And we got a big cat sighting on Friday. We'll talk about that. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. All right, Greg, it is Friday evening. Tony Finau and Cam Champ are the favorites to win this event. They're plus 225, according to our friends at William Hill. What could possibly go wrong with Tony Finau being a favorite on a Friday evening, but they are a hair ahead of Christopher Ventura and Victor Hovland. They're 3-1. Bubba Watson and Scottie Scheffler, 5.5-1. Those are the only three teams in single digits. And of course, the Watson Scheffler team is 2 back of the other two.
Yeah, it's I think it's really interesting. And with tomorrow's format, if you're Champ and Finau, you could go out there and shoot 64 and lose two shots in an instant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, you could lose more. So you got to go out and play. You still have to go play. If it was alternate shot the rest of the way, I'd feel really good about these guys because you can make pars and you can hang in there and fend off a charge. But tomorrow in the better ball format, you can't fend off these teams. So, I still think even the guys like Rahm and Palmer down there, they're at 8-under. I think they have a real chance. McDowell and Wallace, I think still all the guys at 8-under, I think still have a really good chance. And it wouldn't take long for the 7-unders to have a really good chance too, right? Imagine a 62 coming out. All of a sudden you're at 17 tomorrow. I think 17 going into Sunday is still kind of a live score.
Yeah, I think that in terms of those three teams that we mentioned at the top, the Watson Scheffler team, I think their best format is best ball, where they could go and make a bunch of birdies. And if they get a little lucky, post something really low. I think there are teams that are better on Saturday than Sunday. You mentioned it, the Palmer, John Rahm team, I think is better in best ball. I think they can make a move. I think that the Keegan, Brendan Steele team, like they could make a move. I just think that some of these teams are built better for best ball and some are built better for alternate shot, if that makes sense.
The one thing I'll say to that, Rick, is I was really impressed with Watson and Scheffler today. I mean, they were one off the best, right? They're one off the best score of the day. So, and Bubba had some really cool short game shots, and they seem to have kind of a good thing going, right? You know, we didn't want to play with each other, and it's like very obvious, and we kind of, I was 8th in line.
Very obvious,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's that kind of humor to it, and it's just working. They both like accepted it, and they're happy to be here. They're happy to be playing because they had such a hard time getting a partner. So yeah, it was, I think that team's a really interesting team to watch, but I do see your point. I don't know, Rick. I could argue that every team here is built better, with the exception of Rose and Stenson. Every team here is built better for best ball than foursomes.
Yeah. I also think that if you're looking at this board on Friday night, I would make smaller bets on the teams that are like 40, 50, and 60, because if you get a big move on Saturday, these odds are going to just get sliced the leg. You know what I mean? Down. So I think this is your, like this, you know, tomorrow night you might want to bet the shorter guys as we go into alternate shot, but I would start sprinkling on some of these longer guys. I hope they go out, like they could shoot 60 tomorrow.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Who do you think, who are you looking at that say past, You know, outside of the top three, that's going to make a big move tomorrow.
You mentioned the McDowell Wallace group. That's a sneaky good group. So Wallace is, I mean, for a while has been awesome from tee to green. McDowell loses strokes off the tee, but he doesn't miss fairways, which is always handy too. So like, I think that you could see a situation where McDowell plays kind of the steady man and never, you like, they'll never make bogey. They'll never have long putts for par or whatever. And Wallace could jump and, you know, Wallace could kind of force things. The other one is the Keegan Bradley, Brendan Steele group, they are either going to crash and burn or they're going to shoot a 60. Like that's kind of the way I feel about them. And they're 50-1, the Wallace and McDowell group, they're 66-1.
I just worry about their putt. I worry about Steele and Keegan putting. And in tomorrow's format, when you have to, you have to go crazy in a way, make a ton of birdies. I worry about them just getting ice cold and not stalling out tomorrow. Whereas McDowell and Wallace, I think McDowell can kind of light a spark for Wallace in a way.
I really like that team. Yeah.
Right.
I like that team a lot.
And yeah, me too.
Before we get out of here, newsworthy thing, because Tiger Woods just said, "Oh, the new PIP bonus, the new PIP money. I got you. I'm going to post something on social and just jolt myself right up to the top." And we got the first photo essentially posted from Tiger Woods since his car accident. Is a photo of him and his dog out there on it's his backyard, Greg, right? I mean, we know he's been under, they're redoing the whole playing area that he has back there. And he says, "My course is coming along faster than I am, but it's nice to have a faithful rehab partner, man's best friend." And that right there, Jacob shows us, is the photo.
Yeah. First of all, it's really good to see him upright. You know, that's a kind of a nice thing. You don't know what this situation is like, and all you're left with Tiger, and because they don't release a lot of information, and even when they do release information, it's usually very vague. We wonder, and rumors start to spread. Right? I mean, I've heard rumor that this is still really bad, and they're like, it wasn't coming along very well, and amputation is still on the table. Right? Yes. I mean, I heard that rumor. This is what happens when you don't get a lot of info.
There were rumors that he already had the leg amputated. Like, I mean, it's the craziest stuff is out there. So it is absolutely nuts.
And that's what happens when you don't have real information. So seeing him upright, seeing him smiling, you don't know what's under there. Those rumors could, I mean, it doesn't look like it's already been amputated, so I'm going to assume that didn't happen. Yeah. But you don't know what's going on under there, but it makes me feel a lot better. I mean, yeah, he's up, he's out on he's out, up and at it on crutches. So yeah, I feel, I'm happy for him.
As am I. And I'm sure the next time that he posts an update, we will be here to talk about it. But for now, I think that'll do it, Greg. This is it.
It's been fun, Rick.
It's been fun. Round three recap. And of course, round four recaps coming after each of those rounds. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.